Let's begin.
Welcome to Build an Agency, a podcast where we talk about the ups and downs of entrepreneurship, growth tactics, building businesses, and the events that affect your company. Let's jump right in. Welcome back to the podcast. We are on episode 15, and I'm sitting here in the studio with Attilio.
What's up, dudes? How's it been? It's been a whole week, or perhaps an hour if you listen to the last one. So maybe like just a split second if you're listening to this back to back. So welcome back. I think we have a pretty stacked episode today. What do you think, man?
Yeah, I like it.
What did we do this week?
Well, we worked on a lot of homework for HubSpot.
Some, I guess kind of just like day-to-day tasks work, sort of setting up like our landing pages a little bit differently. We're sort of increasing our, offers for all of our funnel systems on our website.
Yeah.
So we're making sure we have a solid bottom of the funnel offer. We're slowly getting some mid funnel offers. We're getting some top of the funnel offers, and we're kind of putting all that together. Travis, I know you were working on Hone You pretty heavy.
Absolutely.
So building the hype for that.
Mm-hmm. One thing I'm really excited about is I got to create a graphic for like the Hone University seal. You know what I mean? So like almost every university out there, what I realized is when they're designing their seal, they almost all use the same elements. So some will be using like olive branches, or they'll almost always use a torch. Like a torch is symbolic of learning, and so I got to create like a Hone You, you know, seal. So it's gonna have its own branding and everything. I'm really excited.
We're making it look like collegiate as fuck. It's I'm super happy. I mean, we're pretty young dudes. We're like out of college a few years ago.
Yeah,
several years ago.
A million years ago.
But like, I think we still have a little bit of that college feel.
Yeah,
and I think it's just going to like I love the branding for it. I think it's badass, and I think it's going to capture exactly who we want to capture, like just the young audience. I think we can like just reel people in with that, you know, and capture people when they're young and really start helping people out.
What I love about the graphic is like, so you guys will see it eventually, but the U looks like a very collegiate looking like font. Like I think of like colleges like Miami U. You know, everyone knows the U stands for university, and so for Hone You, it's Hone You, short for university, but it's Hone You, but also Hone You, like we're sharpening you, we're making you better. So it's a pun.
The double entendre is double just like entendre. Real as hell.
I love it. So. I had this really terrible headline on the homepage for Hone You for a while, just like a placeholder. It was like something like Hone You exists to hone you.
It's like so good that it's bad.
Oh, it's terrible. But I mean, it's just the pun is so dead on to like what we're, you know, trying to accomplish with Hone You is to make people better in their businesses and with their marketing strategy. So
plus being in sales, I know for a fact that people just respond to the cheesy stuff. Like, yeah. Even if it like deeply hurts your soul, it just gets a response out of people because it's something other than the normal.
Yeah.
So like doing cheesy stuff, kind of putting yourself out there in a weird light. That's the kind of stuff that ends up winning because people can see sort of a difference. You're not a commodity to them.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty stoked for it. What else did we do? Signed a contract finally.
Yeah,
for
big contract.
Those guys, the Inc. 5000 that we talked about, I don't know, a million years ago, three weeks ago.
Yeah, we had a little back and forth a little bit ago on whether or not we should even like mention that again. But I think it's important to talk about it, or at least bring it up again, because for those of you who are also building your own like inbound marketing agencies, who are still trying to like get your first contract under your belt with maybe like a larger company, there is just so much red tape, and like the larger a company is, that like the slower they move. So
yeah,
like don't expect when you're approaching those like mid to large size businesses that you're just gonna walk in there and you're gonna strut your stuff and they're going to love your product so much. They're just going to like beg for a contract right then and there that they can sign. It's just not going to happen. Like you're going to negotiate. You're going to spend a long time writing up a contract that makes sense. You're going to send it to them. They're going to send the red lines. You're going to rewrite the contract with the red lines. You're going to send it back. They're going to have more red lines for you. And then maybe if you're lucky, you will get that contract signed and it'll be glorious and you'll be really excited when it happens. But
it does take a long time.
It takes a while. Like,
That also comes like, don't go for a big contract because you need to save your life that month, because it's probably not going to happen, especially if you're in B2B.
Yeah. If your life,
it takes a long time.
If your life depended on getting a big contract written, negotiated, and signed within a month's time, don't hold your breath.
Yeah.
Every mid to large size client that we've had has taken a pretty, it just takes a while to get that contract to happen. So
with being small, we have the speed, like we can do it very quick.
Oh, yeah, we're very agile.
It takes them long to kind of get everything in gear and getting everything moving, getting everything approved and making sure that everything fits correctly. Sure. So, being small has its advantage in that way, you also have to remember that you're working with someone larger, or if you're working with someone larger or someone smaller, remember that size and time is kind of relative.
We've even seen that kind of level of agility from some of our other clients that are smaller businesses. Like, I think we've actually moved someone all the way down the funnel and signed a contract within a day.
Yeah, we've closed in a day.
Yeah, we've closed in a day.
But we've also closed in a month and a half.
Yeah.
So,
like, smaller businesses can just move quicker, and there's a lot less cooks in the kitchen. So usually the owner, there's one owner and he makes the last say on it. But when you're working with mid to large size businesses, they often have a board, a C-suite, et cetera. So pretty crazy.
Absolutely. Do you want to get right into our education? What this podcast is going to be titled?
Yeah, man. What's the title?
Let's pull the trigger. Title. This is impromptu a little bit. So how about customer acquisition
through brand awareness?
Through brand awareness. Okay. Yeah. So we have this brand awareness thing that we pulled up, which I don't know if a lot of you guys listening know too much about brand awareness. It's actually probably one of the higher return on investments, because once you start building up a brand, it kind of runs itself. It speaks for itself, I guess.
Yeah.
Look at Nike or Coca-Cola, their brands are so strong, or Google, their brands are so strong that one, they can sell things for way more. And you'd be willing as a consumer to buy it. And you just think of them as a company. So if you're just thinking of a company, if you're like, hey, I really need shoes, and you're just thinking what shoes should I get? You'll think of the top probably three different kinds of shoes that you want that have a lasting brand impression on you. And that's all part of brand awareness. And there's, we kind of put together 18 things that you can use to get brand awareness for your company. I think we'll probably use a little example of a boutique shop throughout. So a little, I don't know, what do you want to make it? Use your imagination, I guess. A boutique shop that sells sort of a little bit more expensive goods, maybe? Like clothing?
Let's do a boutique furniture shop.
Boutique furniture. Okay.
Boutique furniture, because we actually know somebody that
runs a boutique furniture shop.
Yeah.
Okay. Wait, aren't they a clothing shop, or are we thinking a different place?
We're thinking a different place.
Okay. Okay. We'll do boutique furniture. So get more customers with brand awareness. Okay. Referral programs. So this is when users spread information about your brand based on some form of incentive. Right. So one of the greatest referral programs, actually, there's a lot of good referral programs out there, but one of the best referral programs is probably Dropbox. So Dropbox gives users 500 megabytes of extra storage space for every friend they refer. Right. So back when Dropbox was super new, the referral program helped generate tons of word of mouth and subsequently, you know, they grew into a huge monster of a company. And I'm sure you can think of some other companies that do the same thing. All you have to do is just offer someone a little bit of extra something, a little extra service, a little extra product, an extra perk. So for our boutique furniture shop, maybe have it so if you refer two or three friends into the shop and they can like somehow prove with a customer number that you were referred in, maybe you get an extra 10% off of your next purchase or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, it could be anything. Set up a deal so that it fits exactly how you want to run your business and then run it that way. And I think that's just a super powerful way for brand awareness because obviously you're getting your friends to refer you in and it just makes sense. So I was at another company that actually did, if you refer people, you get entered into a drawing and that drawing at the end of the month, you know, you get a chance to win. It was like $500 of merch or something. So obviously do whatever you think is right, you know. So the other thing, so another brand awareness tactic is probably good guest content.
So what is guest content? So that is I am creating really awesome content for somebody else's blog, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So it's a super good way to build backlinks. It's a super good way to get yourself noticed. It's a super good way to insert yourself into their sphere, into their marketing area. So it's just incredible reach, especially if your audiences aren't overlapping that much. So if your audiences maybe have like a 1% overlap, a 2% overlap, so say you're the furniture boutique shop and you do a guest post on a, a business building web, a business building podcast or something, a business building blog, like something like ours. I mean, there's very little overlap of audience there, but at the same time, you get huge reach from it because none of those people have ever seen you before.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of people that probably would not have heard of you. So it's a great way to get some of that. It's a great way to build some expertise in your field if you're guest posting on someone in your field's blog space. So guest posting overall.
Well, okay. So just to elaborate on this for our audience. So you and Ryan contact blogs a lot more often than I do because I know you guys contact blogs for like backlinks and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the best way to approach bloggers who are in their industry to try and get like guest posts? Like, have you noticed like a trend? Like, do bloggers prefer to be called, emailed? Like, do you ever have like phone conversations with them? Like, what does that
email.
Look like?
So okay. Usually email, and you usually email like the web admin or just anywhere really. Just get like the support, you know, like support@business.com. Like, just go to their support channels, go to their emails, figure out who's running the website, figure out who's taking these submissions, and just email. And it could be something as simple as, hey, I really liked your blog post X. I wanted to see if you guys are accepting guest posts at this time. I think it'd be really awesome to share some content. I have some great ideas. Give them 3-4 headlines that you are interested in writing maybe, and see if they have any guidelines. And then if they have any guidelines, if they're interested in a headline, they'll get back to you real quick. And then you just write it up for them. It's pretty straightforward. Leave a couple links in there if they let you. And then, of course, leave some information for your social media so that way people can ask you questions through like whatever channel you want, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, whatever. And then maybe an email, and then that's it really. You know, you get your links because you're pointing back to yourself. You get, the backlink or the domain pointing to you because you're obviously guest posting and you're posting in their space. So you're getting tons of notoriety and tons of brand awareness. So did I answer?
Yeah.
That's pretty good, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just to bring it, you know, down, you know, to a, to an applicable, you know, level for them.
So the next one's infographics, right?
We talked a bit about infographics last time, so it'd be interesting to...
Dude, infographics are like king right now.
Oh, yeah.
Straight up, especially if you have like a common license for them. And what that means is that anybody can use them just by sourcing or citing you. So, I mean, it's just too sexy. Like, you set it out, they take it up, you know, and then you get links for it. So another great way for links, another great way to show your value, another great way for you to show research. We have like a sweet infographic here, but we don't need to look at that. So yeah, infographics, I mean, all in all, awesome. Again, they can be kind of expensive, as we said in the last podcast, but totally worth it, especially if you can put it into a huge guide or something, like incorporate it into some other things.
And they're three times as likely to be shared on social media. Like, yeah. It's a great way to take like research findings or any kind of like maybe more complicated like concept that you need to explain in a very like digestible, simple format. It's really, really good for those. So if you've got a really big concept that you need communicated well, infographics are a great way to go. Just make sure you do them well, because the secret's out on infographics and everyone's using them. So you've got to go above and beyond. Something I said in the last podcast when we were talking about types of content was if you can, these are harder to do, but gifographics are super interesting. You take an infographic or like the process of an infographic and you animate it out in a GIF.
Yeah,
kind of interesting.
Super sweet. Super sweet. Super sweet. Point number four, freemium with credits is sort of what we're calling it, I guess. But it's pretty much when you get to choose a free version of a product or a service, and you just kind of include like a watermark or a credit line or the option to upgrade to the paid version. So it allows the users to remove a watermark or replace it with their own logo. So like white label sort of. So many users will take the free version, or they'll try it. So when they're doing that, they're obviously promoting your brand or your service or your product. So some of those new users who see your product will go with the paid version. So just to get rid of your branding. But if they're using the freemium version, obviously you're getting tons of eyeballs to your product and your service. And that can work with anything. That doesn't have to work with like an online kind of thing. You can even go as far as doing like freemium with credit, even doing like to-go boxes for a restaurant that have your watermark or your label, or bags for our boutique. You know, if you're giving something away for free, you may as well put your logo on it, or put some form of advertisement, or put some form of you know, branding on there, because yeah. At the end of the day, that's just free advertisement for you. It's something that people have to carry out of your store anyway, and it shows people that you just shop there. So, and it's a super, I mean, this happens in retail all the time. How many times have you seen like a Macy's bag or a Nordstrom bag or, you know, wherever, Abercrombie & Fitch, whatever. Happens everywhere.
Yeah.
United, AGB, whatever. So next brand awareness tactic.
Local partnerships. Another great brand building strategy is to get involved with local partnerships. This is tremendously important for local-oriented businesses, but can be applied for other businesses as well.
Like our boutique, right?
Like our boutique. So you need to partner with local businesses to join into like seminars, festivals, sponsor local sports teams, donate to charity events. Getting your brand plastered around festivals and events will do big things for your brand. I usually don't like the idea of name-dropping clients, but I want to give a huge shout out to our friends at the Rager Dykes Auto Group, because they do this very well.
Yeah, that they do.
So just for context, they have got their logo plastered like everywhere around Lubbock. So whether it's a billboard about cars, or if it's like their logo in the corner of like the local news, or if they're sponsoring like, you know, like a fireworks show or whatever, they're constantly doing things in the community and putting their brand everywhere. Like, absolutely. If you ask anyone in Lubbock where to buy a car, they're going to tell you to go to the Rager Dykes Auto Group, because they see the logo literally everywhere.
I would say North and West Texas entirely would probably know Rager Dykes Auto Group.
Like, yeah, absolutely. That, like
this guy's reach is just crazy.
They're dominating, but they spend so much time on brand awareness, and they do it better than anyone else in town in terms of like brand.
And he's the first person you think of.
Consequently, yeah, no, always. You know? Like when I think of,
and he's Inc. 5000.
Yeah.
So
if I think
coincidence,
like,
I think not.
Well, it's like, you know, if I want to buy a car, I know to go to the Rager Dykes Auto Group, because I've gone to fireworks shows where the RD's plastered on the on the wall, or they're rebuilding downtown Lubbock right now, and he owns a lot of the real estate, so his his brand is just everywhere. So, I mean, local partnerships is huge. So if you can get your, you can like sponsor like festivals or events or things that are happening in your community, you should definitely do it. It's totally worth it. It'll bring you business.
Yeah, absolutely. And the next technique, I don't know if I'm a huge fan of directly this technique. There's sort of offshoots of it, but car wraps. Okay.
So I think they're pretty effective.
They're effective, but I think I would do something else. I think I would they're pretty good.
I don't know if I'd do that for Hone.
Maybe like a local business, I would do it. Or
I would do it if I was a plumber or if I was... So a company that does that really well here in town, they're not one of our clients yet, but they're called Beaten Bow Homes, and they do car wraps on a bunch of their pickup trucks. And so everyone sees these around town, and so when you want to build a home out here, you think Beaten Bow.
Yeah. So what we have written here is it's sort of like a tried and true strategy for building a brand. Basically, they're customized designs that cover your car. Okay, so for those of you who don't know, and of course you can still see through the windows and everything, but basically they attract a ton of attention, and it's a great way to ensure that wherever you go, people are sort of becoming familiar with your brand. You can even have your own phone number on there, or your email, or your website. So even like maybe a small description, like a mini pitch, like a one sentence, like, we are Hone. We exist to optimize your online marketing funnel. So like you could have like a one sentence description about who you are. You know, you're really seeing these guys at stoplights. You're really seeing these guys in passing. So maybe something quick, something like boom, 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 just to build that brand awareness. And I guess they're effective if you're local, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know if maybe some like crazy e-commerce stores it would be too effective for. Actually, I can actually see really how the merit comes in, because it's a one-time cost, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of...
You drive every day anyway.
Yeah, and you're driving around anyway. I can actually really see the merit.
No, I think car wraps are extremely effective, but as a designer, I must caution you, please, please, please make sure a good designer does your car wrap. Really. Well, I've seen a lot of really bad car wrapping jobs. Either the shop sucked or the designer sucked because I couldn't really read what was on there. So, like, try and keep your design really simple and try and keep the content really, really, really simple and easy to understand. Like, I think I saw, like, on the back of some dude's tailgate one time, this guy had, like 10 bullet points of stuff, and you couldn't read it. Like, yeah. So it was just a waste of a car wrap and, like, real estate on your truck. I mean, you need to, like, kind of put, like, Lubbock's number one plumbing service and, like, three of your primary services and your phone number on your tailgate or the back of your car or...
Yeah, Chicago's best blank, you know.
Yeah, like,
New York's whatever, best slice of pizza, make it quick.
Yeah, like make it really easy for them to, you know.
Actually, that would be crazy for delivery drivers.
Yeah, no.
That would be awesome, like for restaurants or something, just wrap their cars because they're driving around all the time.
Well, I think Potbelly's has wrapped cars. I've seen like a local pizza shop here in town do it. I mean, I've seen vehicles around town starting to wrap some like company cars for delivery guys.
Interesting,
and
then
you're like you're going home for dinner. You're like, oh, I don't know what to get, and then you see like
a delivery guy pass by going,
oh heck, that looks really good.
Yeah. Oh man, that's a good way. Yeah.
Yeah. Car wraps are
pretty sweet.
Car wraps are probably one of my favorite methods of,
especially if you got like 5-10 cars, like you got a fleet, you know, 20 cars even. Could you imagine that?
Well, again, that's why Beaten Bow dominates.
100 cars?
Most of their like contractors and like higher ups, they all drive a Beaten Bow Homes truck.
Yeah.
So there's like probably 10, 15, 20 of those just driving around Lubbock all the time.
Think about like Yellow Cab too, mm-hmm. like taxi services, all those dudes. I mean, their cars aren't wrapped necessarily, but they have their logo all over the place. So
it's great.
Tons of exposure. Good for you. Good for monies. The next one is freebies. This one's pretty straightforward, right? You just give out free stuff, probably on like a sign up, give it away at local festivals, give it away where there's lots of people and they can kind of carry your stuff around. It just makes sense. People do it all the time. People do it on pens. People do it on keychains. People do it on koozies. People do it for whatever. And let's be real, it's just it's such an easy way to get your name out and about and always in someone's hand.
You know? I'm really excited to implement freebies with Hone. So as we're trying to kind of get like Hone, I want to get Hone U's name out really badly so that people will remember us as the Hone U guys, because they remember that credibility that it takes to teach this stuff. And so when they're actually needing marketing help, they'll use our agency. I want to make Hone U like hoodies with like the seal or, you know, some really good, you know, good design for a hoodie. And I want to trade them for, you know, emails online, or I want to like, I wouldn't even mind, giving out like Hone U merchandise. Like we go like the small business expos they have that the Chamber of Commerce puts on. We can set up there and like talk to people about Hone U and how they can like learn how to do inbound marketing from our stuff. And then when they see how much time it takes, they can they can come over to us. But I don't know. I'm really, really excited to implement that.
Yeah, no, that's definitely going to slay it. Especially when like we just have so much education like that we pursue personally. That's just like there's so much content. Like it's just it's going to feel really good to be able to give free stuff out like that. To be able to educate other people and then be able to like turn it around, especially like for someone like a boutique, you know, just it could be something as simple as pens. It could be something as simple as letters, like letter openers or something. You know, it depends how high end you are or what you're trying to get from your customer. Definitely emails is a great place to go, especially if you want to keep people in the loop, or some form of like memberships. So give away free memberships to your group and then give out points for purchases, you know.
Yeah.
Kind of stuff is pretty straightforward. So the next one is social media contests.
Super strong.
So yeah, they are actually.
So you can run like social media contests in which like contestants will like submit like photos or videos with other users voting for their favorites. Like contestants can share the link with their friends and family to get more votes and building like brand awareness as a result. So like an example of this would be submit a really awesome video of you hula hooping to enter and share this post to be entered into a contest to win X prize, and whoever gets the most like likes on your video wins. And so this person all these people submit a video of them like trying to hula hoop, and you get all your friends and family like, go vote for me on my hula hooping video because I will win a prize later.
Yeah,
and
then I'll get a $100 gift card from boutique.
Yeah. Ads, you know? Yeah. From this furniture boutique, I'll get a free dresser and it's going to be awesome. It's going to look so good with my stuff.
Yeah.
Please go vote for me. And they go and vote. And now everyone is seeing, oh, these guys run a really awesome furniture boutique. I actually want some of this stuff for my living room. And now I'm going to submit a video of myself hula hooping.
Boom. Exposure and competition among your customers, which I think it's super healthy when people engage with you, right?
Yeah.
So in a contest, it kind of pushes people to want to engage with you. And so it's kind of like a double header. It's sort of like a two front attack, I guess. You get people engaging, people sending stuff, people doing stuff around your brand, and then of course people also seeing that you're hosting the event, seeing how awesome you are, and seeing what kind of product you have, especially if you're giving out a product or giving out a service for that contest. So it's a sexy tactic for sure.
For sure.
So the next one is social focus. So with the number of social networks like totally booming right now, trying to do active social media marketing on all of them is pretty much crazy. It's almost impossible unless you are just like really tripling down on social. So if your business is best suited to a particular network, don't be afraid to just put the majority of your energy onto like a few sites. For example, photo heavy sites might focus on like Instagram or Pinterest, while like B2B communities often do really well on Twitter or maybe even LinkedIn, whereas small businesses and creative industries like maybe our boutique or like craft marketing can do pretty well on Instagram right now. We know some people who are just basically running their business on Instagram right now. So it's kind of crazy. So know where your audience hangs out, focus on those networks. You don't have to totally abandon the other social sites, but save the biggest efforts for what like, you know your audience is at, save it, you know, for where you can really hit the targeted market, targeted audience, right?
Yeah.
And then obviously dig into those analytics to see where your traffic's coming from and crush it. It can get pretty crazy if you're looking at analytics and seeing like, oh, dang, I'm putting tons of effort on Twitter, but I'm actually getting all my traffic from Facebook. So I should really focus on Facebook. And all it has to do is social media marketing, right? Classic brand awareness tactic through social media. It's pretty self-explanatory by the time this is 2017. I mean, this is pretty much straightforward. So next one would be LinkedIn publishing. So Travis, I know you do this one kind of pretty well already, but I can talk about it real quick. So we already talked a little bit about the value of guest posting, but there's also other methods to get published and spread your name across the web. So LinkedIn began letting users to publish posts on their LinkedIn a little while ago. I don't know. When was that? Probably like a year and a half ago, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit longer. But if your post gets enough attention, it could wind up in the LinkedIn home stream for tons of users. And as an added bonus, you get to have posts attached to your LinkedIn account, which help you like get established as a thought leader, basically. So once you post something, it sort of sticks on your account, right? So, of course, you can always set up your own company blog and post there. But I think that a lot of people actually generally like to engage and talk to a single person better than a business. And I think it's just like a personalization kind of thing. So not only that, but I was reading something and I shared it with you yesterday, I think, about LinkedIn viral loops. So you can actually offer free product on LinkedIn, ask them to say yes in the comments, so that way it shares it to their network and like the post maybe, or even share the post, and then click a link, go to the webpage, give an email to get the free product. And by them saying yes and giving you the email, people were able to build like email lists of 72,000 people in a month. So this is a crazy tactic right now. This literally happened in April of this year. So literally like a month and a half ago. So LinkedIn viral loops are crazy right now. It's a great way to get your brand name out there, even if you're going to like a national scale. So, I mean, 72,000 emails in a month is ridiculous. That's a ton of people who saw that.
For sure.
So
like another thing you should like probably implement into a LinkedIn strategy as well to build that awareness is having your employees post on LinkedIn things that are going on with your business, like encourage that kind of thing, because their networks are going to see what's going on with your business as well. So don't just post things on your own, but encourage others to do the same.
Yeah. Employee compliance is like a really huge factor in any growing business. I mean, if you have 2, 3, 4 employees, see if you can, I mean, I wouldn't say exploit, but basically exploit their audience, you know, tap into it, have them check in every once in a while, let people know that they work there, let people know that like in their network that they like having fun at your workplace, or, you know, build a culture around yourself. It's great for brand awareness. Great, great, great for brand awareness. I mean, it's huge, right? Yeah. So I actually still think, I'm a very firm believer that people are probably going to start hiring based on how large your social network is. I really do think that, and it's just because they can get bonus exposure from that. So I think it's actually going to be another hiring point probably in the next couple of years as social is getting bigger. So you heard it here first. Seriously, dude.
The next one is pro storytelling. So if you want your brand to be like super, super memorable, start with really good storytelling. Like if you can create emotionally moving, compelling stories that connect deeply with users, they're not going to forget your name, right? So a really great example of this, in my opinion, would be Nike. So every commercial they come out with, they're not just like, buy these shoes, new shoes out, new design. Like they're not constantly bombarding you with like their new design of shoes. Every Nike commercial, they're almost always telling a story of some athlete who's trying to achieve greatness and their struggles and how they're fighting through it. And they're trying to relate with athletes in that way. And so they build this emotional story up, and at the very end, the Nike check. You know, like storytelling is huge.
Less of an ad, more of a story, and you win.
Well, and before,
because people are desensitized to ads. Mm. I mean,
well, I think Apple used to do a really good job of this before they started making these annoying, awful ads I've been seeing lately on Facebook.
Yeah,
Apple, you're screwing up.
Seriously though, like,
well, I
really
just
hurting their brand. I think
I just remember, like, there'd be like a new iPad commercial, and they'd be showing like how doctors are implementing the iPad into the surgery room, or like the operating room, surgery room. but like, lots of brands will use like really great storytelling, and it really engages the user. Like, you get them emotionally involved with what's going on their screen for the next 30 seconds. And then they're going, wow, that was really cool, you know, to see this. And
yeah,
you know, it makes you want an iPad. It makes you want to buy, it makes you want to buy Nike shoes, because all these great athletes I've seen, grinding it out every day on this commercial.
So how would you build a story for our boutique shop?
How would I build a story for the boutique shop? So I would actually center it probably around like the founders of the boutique shop. So like, maybe it starts with the story of how the owner used to build furniture with their dad. Their dad is a carpenter, and so you start with like
family owned.
Yeah, family owned. I'm a second generation carpenter or whatever, and I build custom boutique, you know, one of a kind, made in the USA furniture, and then you go into their shop and you see all the work and the detail and the effort put into it, and then like, you bring it into someone's home, and you're like, they're talking like, man, I really like, you know, do you have like the narrative, like you have the owner narrating, going like, I really love running this boutique because I like to see the homes of my customers come to life with my pieces, or
just the way that my family used to,
you know,
have,
so you're going from, you know, family history to you're getting to see him make them to delivering them to what the room looks like with the furniture in them.
Absolutely.
With a narrative, with the build up, and you can, that's how I would do storytelling for our furniture boutique purposes.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, that's a great, you know, that's how you instill it in someone's head. You know, people love a great story, and people love being part of something bigger than themselves or different other than themselves. You know,
mm-hmm.
Anybody can go to a boutique, anybody can go to a furniture shop, but no one can go to the, you know, the Swearingen crystal furniture boutique or something where he made, you know, whatever with his dad, you know, whatever story you have for it, you know.
I think stories also make like brands more human.
Yeah.
So like, the reason why I can't, you know, connect with.
I'm trying to think of a company.
Like
a big brand that
like a really
maybe
large
like Macy's brand. Actually. Or like a really big mall store or something.
Yeah,
like, I don't have any connection with
them. I can't connect with like Macy's because every time I see them, they're just trying to sell me nonstop. But when I see a brand actually telling a story, you really put a lot more effort into like the people who are running it. So like
and they're willing to pay more usually. Like craft shops.
Yeah, like, you know? So if I saw a boutique furniture guy like creating this really awesome story, versus the dude who's just constantly like on TV, on local television, going, our, you know, super sale, you know, all that.
Our furniture's the best price. Yeah.
Like, I could probably get like just as good furniture going to like a big store like I would at the boutique, but you've already got me emotionally invested in this guy who has been building furniture with his dad since he was a kid, and he decided he had such a big passion for it that he wanted to open up his own business. It's like, I want to give that guy my money. You know,
yeah.
I'm more connected to that owner than I am the bigger brand, and so I'm willing to pay a little more to support his dream and his business and feel like I was a part of the story.
Yeah, and it might also be our audience type, so. You have to be very aware of your audience that you're going to be attracting with your story.
Yeah.
So if your story happens to be, you know, I built handmade with my dad and that's why I can justify charging you 40% more, you know, your audience is not going to be the bargain hunter. You know, they're not going to be the bargain finder. So run your business like that, you know. Tailor it towards your audience. Tailor it towards your story. Tailor it towards who you are. Leave the bargain finders for the guy who's on TV saying, huge sale now, blowout sale now. Like, you know, that's his audience is the bargain finder. Your audience is something else because you have a different story than that guy. So be aware of your audience and your story. So take account, you know, who you're telling the story to. So that was a pretty good one, I think. But the next one is unique personality.
Give your brand a unique personality.
And I love this one, and I actually love this example,
too. Oh, the example is perfect, because everyone's going to know about it. And what's funny is I see all these other companies doing it now. So one surefire way to increase brand awareness for your company is by giving your brand a fun, unique brand identity. So if you're working in an industry where a little dose of comedy or personality is appropriate, or being outrageous can like make your brand extremely memorable, you should definitely do it. So like a few major examples of businesses that like do this are Old Spice.
Dollar Shave Club has
some. Dollar Shave Club
kills it. Jack Link's Beef Jerky.
Yeah, Jack Link's does it.
Because they have the big Sasquatch.
Yeah, they did the Sasquatch. Like, Slim Jim used to do some crazy stuff. They had like the snap into a Slim Jim dude.
Red Bull kind of has their own unique thing. They kind of do like the adrenaline junkie thing.
Or like the goofy Red Bull gives you wings.
Yeah.
To cartoons.
They kind of have both sides to it.
What are some other ones? I've been seeing like workout supplement companies trying to do this. I mean.
Yeah. So kind of give yourself something like zany, you know, give yourself something like inject some humor or comedy into the brand promotion. And it leaves a huge impression with the audiences, and they can sometimes become like viral. So we had something actually happen here in Lubbock, which was going viral nationally. It was between Wendy's and what was it? Tea to Go, I think.
No, it's a Pure Water.
Pure Water. Yeah. So Pure Water and Wendy's were having like a little sort of battle with their signs.
The marquee where they put like the black letters on the thing and they change them out. So they're like, you know. They're saying to Wendy's, you better check yourself before you wreck yourself. And, yeah. You know, all this different stuff. I mean,
they were going back and forth and it went viral.
It was hilarious. Like people were like literally driving by both. Like they're driving through the intersection just to look at both sides of the road to see the marquees. And everyone was just laughing really hard. Like everyone was taking photos of them. And so while Wendy's probably didn't need the brand awareness as much, Pure Water is a much smaller company and they got national brand awareness because they're willing to do something outrageous and funny.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's awesome. And actually, is it Wendy's that does the Twitter things where it's like if you complain, they like trash you?
Yeah. So,
I think it's hilarious. I love it. I think it's hilarious. And it's crazy how much exposure they get from it. It's just like
the person that runs Wendy's Twitter account is an absolute savage.
like justified savage. Like just kills everyone.
Someone will say something like really like bad about Wendy's food or something really like stupid that's like, you know, rude or dumb, and like Wendy's just trashes them on Twitter, and it's the funniest thing of all time.
You know, it's and you know, them doing that is giving them exposure even on this podcast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like we're talking about all these people because they have great brand awareness. Like we're aware of them, so we're all right with talking about them.
I think Wendy's social media team is probably the best like restaurant social media team of all time.
Yeah, it's
hands down. Yeah. But and also like I exclusively buy Old Spice deodorant and body wash because the commercials are so dope. Like,
I mean,
so
the product's good and the commercials are hilarious. So it's like, why not buy it?
Yeah, like, I don't want to buy Dove for Men. That's stupid. Let's go.
Like, they don't have a funny commercial. Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't have Science the Bear. They don't have...
Like, Science the Bear.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So next is podcasts. Obviously, we're doing the best things ever. Like, look at our brand right now. Like, obviously, podcasts. I mean... But seriously, so starting your own industry podcast where you either interview experts or like talk about some kind of industry plight, sort of like what we're doing. We love building businesses, right? We're also totally in love with online marketing. So obviously we're running one of these podcasts. So it kind of lets us develop relationships in our field if people are listening to this and they're in our field. It's kind of like positioning us to become sort of an expert or as a thought leader. So, however niche the industry is, where there isn't too much like podcast airwaves, you could easily make a name for yourself. So it's actually kind of tough. So marketing has a ton of podcasts, and it's hard for us to compete, even though we're, you know, doing a pretty good job. But, you know, some smaller niche, or I'm sorry, some smaller or less competitive podcast areas, like, hell, making furniture, you know, going back to our boutique shop, there's probably not that many podcasts talking about making furniture.
Yeah, so you talk
about I bet that would be sweet for someone who's doing it, because someone will listen.
You can talk about carpentry, like why you like carpentry. You can talk about mistakes that you've made while doing carpentry. You can talk, you can do like product reviews on your podcast, talking about like why this sander is bullcrap and you hate it, or like why this one sander is like you would never buy anything else
reviews.
Ever. Product reviews, different things. I mean, you can find a way to take maybe like some of the blog content you're putting out and like then just talk about them.
Kind of goes back to being like a thought leader.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It helps. Like, you know, it's like making a podcast is one of the simplest things of all time. Like, it's probably the easiest part of my job. And it gives me more credibility than, you know,
99% of the things you do.
Yeah, the harder things that I do. Because at the end of the day, it's like, well, do you have a podcast? Well, I have a podcast.
Yeah. No, seriously. Like, I mean, we get to talk about some awesome things. And as we're building and growing, we'll get some experts on the show, too. I mean, we have tons of people who've been asking us to be on the show. So I'm sure that we'll have, you know, start getting some interviews going and whatever else we want to get on here to kind of increase this podcast sort of reach and exposure and value. So, you know, it's something very simple that you can just put together and doesn't take too long. I mean, most of ours are unedited. Actually, all of ours are unedited. I don't think you edit any of them, right? So
I've edited only one, I think one time. Like, I think the
probably like a burp or something.
Something like if something like outrageously gnarly happens, I'll edit it. But like I try and keep it as raw as humanly possible.
Yeah, for sure. No, I'm like, oh man, yeah. I'll like burp at the most inopportune moments. It's just like it's out of accident, obviously.
So this is totally off topic, but so we're still working on our online marketing modules, right? So like. So 80% of the module is like a screen, like it's kind of like a screen share thing where Attilio is like clicking through different tools and he's like, he's like doing
tutorials.
He's doing like a voiceover with the microphone. So you can kind of like see and understand what he's doing, you know? So rather than him just like being on camera and teaching you something like, you know, face to face, he's actually getting in the tool with you and showing you how to do it. And so he'll be doing something. He'll burp really loud in the microphone. He'll be like, Travis, will you please edit that? You have to start over or something. It's amazing. It's hilarious.
Yeah. It's,
so what is this final method?
It's not the final one, but it's another one. Number 14. Almost there. Yeah. Let's try to blaze through these last ones. This is getting long. So pay-per-click advertisement is the next one. So search engine optimization is kind of becoming very competitive. Obviously, you can still do it, and it's totally applicable. It's just, you know, there's a certain reach that it can have, a certain length that it can get you very quickly. And so people are kind of just turning to pay-per-click. So Google's, sort of organic real estate is sort of shrinking. So pay-per-click is the smart solution for anyone getting your brand seen on Google. It totally can cover up your organic search blind spots. That's what I would really recommend it for. And not only that, but it can get you, you can actually rank and put your advertisements right above your competition. So it's pretty awesome. It's a great way for branding. So even if users don't end up clicking on your pay-per-click ad, seeing your name at the top of the search results makes an impression and is incredible for building brand awareness. So obviously, to start, all you have to do is go to just Google search Google AdWords or advertise with Google. And it's not AdSense, it's Google AdWords. So just jump in there and start up your pay-per-click ads. Make sure you're ranking for your own stuff. Make sure you're ranking for your services. Make sure you're ranking for, you're advertising for your own services, your own name, and your competitors' names and your locations. So that's really strong. The next one is remarketing, which I actually think is sometimes, and by sometimes I mean usually, overstated how effective it is. Even though
there's the rule of like seven, right? You have to make about seven touches on average before a person buys, right? So remarketing kind of has its merits, except I also think that sometimes you're capturing like competitors that are checking you out. You're capturing users that were just like grazing through or passing through. You're capturing yourself sometimes. So I think sometimes it can get a little
maybe a little annoying sometimes. Like I don't
that too. It can get a little annoying. I mean, but it's a super pro strat for boosting the brand awareness, because remarketing totally involves showing ads to those who have visited your site but left before converting. So when they're placed basically all across the websites that you're visiting or your audience is visiting, they'll be seeing your business everywhere on their blogs while they're shopping. So it kind of gives the impression that your brand's way larger than it actually is. And it's a great way to increase your conversion rate because people are seeing you over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. So remarketing, pretty solid. The next one, almost last one, number 16 out of 18 is paid social advertising, which this is basically pay-per-click, except ads, it's on social media.
Twitter ads.
Yeah. And they're super cheap right now, but plus they can get you crazy reach and impressions and conversions. So whether or not you convert immediately, you really do get sort of tons of exposure and people get to see what you're all about.
My personal favorite is Facebook. I know I've said this a lot, and a lot of guys I think prefer like AdWords and stuff like that, but Facebook is so good. The targeting is amazing. It's super cheap and it's very, very effective. Like Facebook ads are way more effective than Google AdWords.
Honestly, I think they're light years ahead of Google AdWords.
Oh, right, easily. Now. Like I can do insane amounts of targeting to get down to the exact audience I'm trying to get to buy or to click on my ad. So like, please invest in Facebook advertising. If you gave me an advertising budget of $1 million and I was not allowed to do a Super Bowl commercial, I would be rocking Facebook ads all the way.
Super Bowl. But yeah, totally. So number 17 is
controversy. These are kind of like the opinion posts for last time.
So while it's not for everyone, so I don't know if this can totally run for our boutique shop, but one way to get your brand noticed is by being controversial. So taking an unlikely stance on a super hot industry topic, you might find yourself attracting, you know, just tons of attention. It could be bad. It could be good, though, right? So you sort of split your audience when there's controversy. So, I mean, there's sort of a saying that there's no bad press, and we've kind of covered this in past podcasts. And it's kind of true. I mean, obviously, you'll like people will check you out after you have a controversial thing, and they'll make sure to see sort of like, oh, but I wonder what their stuff really is. Like, I remember when Kanye West and Taylor Swift had their thing, where Kanye West went up on stage and, like, said that Beyonce had a huge album. I never listened to Kanye West before that. I had never listened. Seriously, I didn't know him. But then I was like, wow, what a douche. But I bet he's really, I think he's dumb. I don't think I'll ever listen to him. And then, of course, I was like, you know what? I wonder if he has decent music. I wonder what he even sounds like. Mm. And then, of course, I listened to his music and I was like, actually, he's a pretty good musician.
Sure.
So, you know, and then I got into the Graduation album and then it was like, whatever after that. But, yeah, seriously, like controversy, it could be pretty good. It could be religious controversy. It could be, you know, whatever you think is good for you, if it's good for you. So it could be risky, but
and don't go overboard with it. Like, like if you're gonna do it through a blog or through a podcast or whatever, like only once, like every few months, like dip into controversy. Like if you're constantly just giving your two cents about everything and just trying to be controversial for the sake of being controversial and getting attention, people are gonna quit listening to you. Like you're just being annoying at that point. So use it. It's effective, but use it very sparingly.
And the last but not least, actually, this is probably one of the more effective methods.
Oh, it's one of my favorites.
Is influencer marketing.
Influencer marketing.
Yeah, you want to touch on it?
Yeah, man. So, like, if you want to get, like, friends in high places, Another easy way to like boost brand awareness is influencer marketing. So like finding existing influencers in your industry, whose business you could potentially complement, rather than compete with. Make sure, or make use of your partner's influencer network to promote your brand while also building up valuable partnerships that you can continue to make use of long term.
So these brand awareness tips, I mean, they're awesome, right? And I would use influencer marketing, especially. I mean, today we even saw something. This is the mark of Shark Week, right? So Shark Week has started. This is my favorite week ever. Like, it's better than Christmas, I think. It's probably only second to Thanksgiving for me. So Thanksgiving and then Shark Week. That's my list of holidays. So what Shark Week did, what Discovery Channel did, is they partnered up with Michael Phelps, and he's a huge influencer in swimming, and obviously you know him, Michael Phelps, the Olympian. So he's a huge influencer, huge dude. He's got a ton of followers. He's got a bunch of people looking at him, and everybody likes Shark Week. So everybody loves Shark Week. Who am I kidding? So, you know, when they see him, that's millions of people that are then looking at Shark Week as well.
Especially when you're trying to get him to race a shark.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it just makes people want to tune in. You get tons of viewership. I mean, influencer marketing is just incredible. That's why you see, like, Kylie Jenner holding up a Pepsi can and stuff. It's like, all that stuff is perfectly planned because they get influencers to market it. And that's how social media influencers even make money, is by doing brand placement and doing brand work. So, awesome. Awesome. So basically, with all these tips, you'll be a superstar, honestly. These are everything you need to know. And influencer marketing can work on a small scale as well. You don't need to buy Kylie Jenner if you're running a boutique. Just get someone in your local neighborhood that has, you know, thousands of followers, and get them to do something. So here in Lubbock, we have like a local LBK Instagram. That would be awesome for a local influencer to come check out your stuff. Like, it's that simple. Plus, since they don't have that many followers, I'm sure it's pretty cheap to get them over and just, like, tag you and stuff, say hi, you know, have them walk in, give them some freebies, be nice to them, do your thing with them, and they'll promote you, and it's worth it 10 times over, 100 times over, because the exponential growth is just there. So, brand awareness. I think that's pretty much it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you guys so much. We're so thankful for the opportunity to continue to make this podcast for you and get better and better at it. So,
yeah.
Peace.
Peace.